We all remember the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And as the Savior comes by, he looks up in the tree and says, "Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going home with thee." We've all sung that many times. But you know, we have turned it into a happy song, and it's for children. And I guess maybe our children need the happy songs. But you know, Zacchaeus himself was not a happy person, at least not to begin with. Zacchaeus was an outcast. In the eyes of the Jewish people, he was short in more than one way. No doubt he was probably the target of cruel jokes because of his height, because some people are just naturally going to be cruel. But you know, Zacchaeus, he compensated for his small stature because he began to climb the professional ladder. His ambition drove him to step on anyone who got in his way. And now he stood on the top of the rung of the ladder as the chief tax collector. This man was now king of the hill. He controlled the commerce of Jericho, the business, the tourist capital of the Palestinian world. But you know, in doing this, there was a great price to pay for all of this. For you see, Zacchaeus was a traitor. He was an operative of the Roman and the Herodian government, and he betrayed his own people for the sake of the government. He was making himself rich at the expense of his fellow Jews. Yes, he had power. Yes, he had wealth. He had privilege and prestige. But there was one thing missing in Zacchaeus' life. He was friendless. Zacchaeus couldn't walk down the street and have someone say, "Good morning, Zacchaeus. How are you today?" No one came up to Zacchaeus and said, "How's the wife and kids?" No one ever invited Zacchaeus to lunch or to dinner. He was an outcast among his own people. I guess you might say that he would be what we would call in today's terms an Ebenezer Scrooge. On this day, Zacchaeus is somewhat preoccupied. He found out that Jesus is coming to town. He had heard a lot about Jesus. Some people are saying that this Jesus is the promised Messiah, that he is the King of the Jews. And Jesus was known for eating and drinking and socializing with tax collectors and sinners. Because of the terrible crowd and he could not see, he climbs up in that sycamore tree that we sing about in the song. He crawls out on a limb so he can get a better look at Jesus of Nazareth. And it was right there, under that tree, that their eyes met. Zacchaeus was looking at the Son of God, and the Son of God was looking back. Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew about the money stolen. He knew about all the money that had been extorted. He knew about the money under the table. He knew the profits that had been skimmed off the top, time and time again how Zacchaeus cheated and made his way to the top. Money, money, money. That was the item of life for Zacchaeus. But when Jesus looked up in that tree, he wasn't looking to take an audit from Zacchaeus. He wasn't looking for someone rich that he could go home with and have a nice visit. He was looking for sinners. He was looking for a soul to save. And he found one in Zacchaeus. And it was then that Zacchaeus saw Jesus. I mean, really saw Jesus. My question this morning to you is this. Like Zacchaeus, have we really seen Jesus? I mean, do we really see Him? Can we see Him here today with us in His midst? Can we see Him in our Christian lives, in the things that we do, in the words that we say? Can we really see Jesus? And are we willing to go out on a limb to see Him and to live for Him? This morning, I want us to learn how to go out on a limb for Jesus the way that Zacchaeus did. First, I want to suggest to you that if we're going to go out on a limb for Jesus, if we really want to see Jesus, we are going to have to see ourselves the way we really are. You see, people who see Jesus must see themselves with reality. The fact that we are short. The fact that we are inadequate. The fact that we are sinners. Romans chapter 3, Paul tells us that we are all sinners. There are none righteous. No, not one. That we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we all need Jesus because we don't see ourselves as being able to save ourselves. You know, prideful and arrogance does not save. You don't see prideful and arrogant people walk down church aisles. Only those who are humble. And the Scriptures tell us that we must humble ourselves. That's how we need to see ourselves when we look at Jesus. Job tells us in Job 22 that God saves the humble. Psalm 51, David said, and this was his psalm of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba, God searches for the broken and contrite heart. In Matthew 23, Jesus tells us that it will be the humble that will be exalted before God in the kingdom. Not the prideful, not those who have built themselves up, but those who have practiced humility. So maybe, my friends, we need to let go of our pride. Perhaps, my friends, we need to admit our dependency upon God instead of our own works and the own things that our own self-righteousness. You know, Jesus was an excellent example of this. We find in the Garden of Gethsemane, He is praying to His Father. And basically what He's saying to His Father is this: hey, look, God, I'm out on a limb here. I need Your grace. I need Your strength. I need Your help. God, help me. And God did. He sent the angels to minister to them, according to Luke. So Jesus was our example to call upon God, knowing that He needed the Father. You and I today, we need the Father. But unfortunately, some of us like to crawl out on the wrong limb. We like to think that our money, our investments, our financial situation will save us. It won't. We like to think that our good moral behavior will save us, but it won't. We like to think that our church attendance and our good works will save us, but they won't. We like to think that our stand for doctrinal purity will save us, but it won't. We seem to think that if our name is on the church roll, that it will save us. But it won't. Some of us need to reread Jesus' thoughts about maybe the Pharisee and the publican. These two men go into the temple to pray. One is noted for his religion, for his relationship with God. And he even gets in the temple and he says, "Oh God, look at me, how good I am, what good works I do, and how well I am received as Your servant." And then the lowly publican stands in the back and won't even look up to heaven and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said that poor man in the back, he walked out of that place justified. Because he knew that he needed God. And I think maybe that's the first thing we need to recognize in our lives is, yes, we need God. You know why so few of us have experienced full measure of God's blessing? The reason for that is because we're not willing to climb the tree. We're not willing to get out on a limb to see Jesus. We're not willing to get down up on our knees. We're not willing to humble ourselves before God. We are not willing to see ourselves the way we really are. That we need God. So the first thing we must do, if we want to see Jesus, if we want to climb out on that limb so that we can see Him, we need to see ourselves. The second thing that we need to do is to go out on the limb of obedience. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in that tree and He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down quickly." And verse 6 tells us that He obeyed immediately. He came down and received him gladly. Have you ever noticed how God's Word is filled with promises? Almost from the very beginning of Genesis, promises are being made by God to you and to me, and it continues that way today. But there's always this one little word that gets in the way of these promises, the little word if. God's promises to us are real if. We will be obedient. If we, like Zacchaeus, will do what God has asked us to do. To Adam and Eve, God said, "You obey my word and you can live in this paradise forever." Well, we know that unfortunately that didn't happen. Because they did not obey. To Noah, He said, "Build an ark for the saving of yourself and your house." And we know that that one did work because he did obey. To Abraham, He said, "Leave the Ur of the Chaldees and I will make you a great nation and I will bless you through your seed." To Israel, He said, "Be my people and I will give you the promised land." And to us today, He says, "Whoever overcomes, I will give the crown of life, the white robe, and my name will be in their forehead, and they will reign with me forever." Promises made. From Genesis 3 through Revelation 22, promises are made. We've just got to get around that little word if. We need to go out on a limb for Jesus. We need to be obedient to Him. Number three, like Jesus, we must be willing to take Him home with us. You know, too often, we want to leave Jesus here at the church house. And we say, "Jesus, we've got a real nice place for you to stay down here at 2115 Dawson Road. It's nice and big. It's cool in the summer, warm in the winter. And it's just a nice place for you to be. But I don't want you coming home with me. I don't want you in my business affairs. I don't want you in my home life. I don't need you to help me with my money. Let me make my own entertainment choices. Let me take care of my own morality. Let me take care of my prejudices the way I want to have my prejudices. And let me take care of my own political views. You don't bother me in any of these things. You stay at the church house and I'll come see you." Well, I can't say I'll come three times a week because most people don't come three times a week. But I may come twice and I'll surely come once for part of it. You stay here. And I'll come to you. You don't go with me. You see, some of us are unwilling to go out on that limb to see Jesus because we are afraid that He is going to see us back. When Zacchaeus climbed that tree, I doubt he really thought Jesus was going to look up and look at him back. But he did. He certainly didn't believe that Jesus was going to look up at him and say, "Come down, because I'm going home with you today." We don't want to climb that tree, do we? We don't want Jesus to see us looking at him, because we're afraid he's going to look back and he's going to see us the way that we really are, and he'll want to get involved with our lives. I got news for you. He does see you. He sees everything about you. You know, we don't want him looking back at us and say, "Look, you'll have no other gods before me. All these other things need to disappear." We don't want him looking back at us and say, "You need to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your body." We don't want him looking up at us and saying, "You need to seek first the kingdom of heaven and let me take care of everything else." No, Lord, I don't want you taking care of everything else. I want to do it myself. That's the problem. We've already got that frame of mind. We don't need God. We don't need him helping us with our problems of life. And we find ourselves getting deeper and deeper and deeper in sin and deeper in ways of this world. And we can't see it, because we won't look at Jesus. And we won't see ourselves the way we really are. You know, Scripture tells us repeatedly that God must be our Lord of all, or he's going to be our Lord not at all. New Testament Christianity clearly states, God makes his home not in the church building, not in 2115 Dawson Road, not in temples that are made with hands, but God makes his home in the human heart. And may God help us to see that. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this is very important. When Zacchaeus saw Jesus, and when Zacchaeus saw himself the way he really was, Zacchaeus changed his attitude in life. I mean, look at what happened to Zacchaeus. "Half of my possessions," he said, "I'm going to give to the poor. If I have cheated anyone, I'm not just only going to give him back what I cheated, I'm going to give him four times that amount back." The law required that a thief return twofold. Zacchaeus said, "If I'm a thief, I'm going to return fourfold." Do you see what's happening here? Do you see that Zacchaeus is literally turning his life around? Do you see that he is turning over the new leaf, as we like to say? Friends, this is what repentance means. It means that you have gone from doing one thing, you have turned completely around, and you start doing the other. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, come down out of that world, come down out of that greed, and look at me, and live for me. And when he did, his life changed. And as a result, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house." Oh, what a wonderful thing to hear. It's almost as good as hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's what we all want to hear, isn't it? How is he with you this morning? Are you doubting your relationship with God? Do you find yourself up a tree, hanging on a limb, and it's the wrong limb? Are you willing to go out on that limb for Jesus? Are you willing to get out there to see yourself the way you really are, to be obedient to God and to his word, to take Jesus home with you, and to serve him by serving other people? and to live that changed life? It can happen. But you've got to go out on the limb. You've got to make an effort to see Jesus. You've got to make an effort to live for Him. Oh, I'm not going to say you won't fall. We all fall. We can get back up and we can do it again. I'm looking at a room full of fallen people. And if I looked in the mirror, I'd see another one. We all fall. But we need to go right back up that tree. Get right back out there on that limb. And look for Jesus. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, either to become a child of God or to give your life back to the Lord, don't be afraid to step up. Don't be afraid to climb that tree. Don't be afraid to get out there on that limb and put Jesus as a part of your life. And do it right now while we stand and sing.